Kingdom Exhortations. June 2026. Read by Stephen Keysweater. Good morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul gives an in-depth view of how the Holy Spirit works in believers, as well as the purpose, distribution, and understanding of spiritual gifts. He makes it clear that our earnest and consistent confession of Jesus as Lord cannot occur without the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Quote, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work." 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 6. Of the three persons of our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit who gets neglected the most by believers in Christ. In reality, it is the person of the Holy Spirit that lives in us as Christians, and He is the one who has blessed us individually with various impersonal spiritual gifts and talents. He is the one who chooses how we are designed for service to Jesus and His kingdom. Quote, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines." 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. When someone receives Jesus as Savior, they are immersed, baptized, by the Holy Spirit into the universal spiritual body of Christ. They become one spiritually with all other believers in Christ that have ever lived. Quote, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life." John 5, verse 24. Upon receiving Jesus Christ as Savior, the Holy Spirit joins Himself to our dead spirit, causing an explosion of new life, spiritual life, eternal life. We become spiritually alive as well as naturally alive. We then spend the rest of our lives, quote, "drinking in the Holy Spirit as we consistently and intentionally engage Jesus and the Holy Scriptures." Quote, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 14. It's imperative that we understand that every believer in the body of Christ is equally important and valuable to Jesus. A preacher is not more important than a secretary or accountant or janitor. Working in church is not more valuable than serving Jesus in the workplace. Just as all our physical body parts have been strategically arranged that we might have a wonderfully working physical body, the Holy Spirit has arranged each one of us to be strategically placed and used in the spiritual body of Christ. Quote, "Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' It would not, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 15 through 20. We have indeed been given invaluable gifts from the Holy Spirit, and it's our responsibility to increasingly use them to do what he has assigned us to do. We must do our part in serving Jesus and advancing his kingdom and his gospel wherever the Holy Spirit has placed us. Additionally, we should be earnestly concerned and appreciative for our brothers and sisters in Christ, looking to help and encourage them in their calling. Do you actively show love and concern for every servant in the body of Christ? Or do you only show appreciation to those who have been assigned public or noticeable roles, like pastors and teachers? Quote, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." 1 Corinthians 12, verses 21 through 26. In the church today, we often find Christians doing assignments for which they clearly have little to no gifting. Are you operating in the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you? When Jesus calls a man to preach and teach the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Spirit gives that man gifts and empowers him to preach and teach with clarity, power, and purpose. This should be noticeable to those who hear him. Someone who works in children's ministry ought to have a gifting clearly shown in their loving and patient heart for children. A person managing church finances ought to have displayed clear success and responsibility in their personal finances. Quote, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way." 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 through 31. Let us go now and begin to engage the person of the Holy Spirit more specifically, earnestly, and consistently. Determine to, quote, "drink more deeply in the Holy Spirit as you intentionally spend more time each day in fellowship, prayer, thanksgiving, worship, repentance, and, above all, reading, studying, memorizing, and obeying the Scriptures. Make it a priority to increasingly use the gifts and talents you have been given and to learn how other believers are gifted by the Holy Spirit. Do not overlook what may appear to be, quote, less important gifts, but be thankful and show appreciation to those Christians who do the hard work that is often behind the scenes. Give thanks to Jesus and to them for their work in the gospel. It's imperative that we operate in the specific gifts that we have been given by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, our service will lack love, power, purpose, and most of all, joy in serving Jesus and others. Quote, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 through 11. Quote, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Take a moment, right now, and examine yourself. If you are a genuine Christian, God the Holy Spirit is living inside of you and is one with you. How much are you actively experiencing conviction over sin, as well as the resurrection life of Jesus? How often do you have the name of Jesus on your lips? Quote, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16, verses 7 and 8. Finally, be thankful to the Holy Spirit for the gifts and talents that you know he has given you, and do not be afraid to ask him to bless and empower you with even more natural and spiritual gifts to do the work that Jesus has called you to do. Ask him specifically for the gift of, quote, prophecy. Prophecy here is not referring to predicting the future, but gifting and enabling you to more uniquely and effectively exhort and encourage others in Jesus. Quote, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. May God bless you all. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9.